Hi, everyone. My name is Aspen, and welcome back to the Leading Ladies podcast. Today, we are welcoming Amber Hurd to the podcast. Amber is the president of the Southwest Market at First Bank, which is Colorado's largest locally owned bank. With over 100 locations and over $28 billion in assets, First Bank has over 2,700 employees and has been a fixture in Colorado since 1968. Amber has been with First Bank for 24 years and started out there as a management trainee, and then obviously eventually worked her way up to being a president. Amber has her master's in business administration from the University of Wyoming College of Business, and for the past 6 years, she has been on the board of the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. Welcome to the show, and thank you so much. As you know, kind of the purpose of this podcast is to help inspire the next generation of female leaders and kind of give them some advice and let them know what to expect on their journey to those positions. So to kind of start off, could you just share a little bit about your current job and kind of what you do in your position?
Yeah. So I oversee what's called the Southwest Market, and I'm in charge of essentially 8 different locations, about 150 employees. We have about $2.5 billion in assets is kind of the size of that market. And really it's my job to make sure that the market is functioning well and that we are growing. And so growing deposits, growing loans, and that we're serving our customers well. So I oversee that portion of the bank, and am also part of the kind of overarching decision-making process with the bank from a senior leadership position.
Awesome. That's about it. Thank you. And obviously you... You're kind of, you know, a woman at the top of the company in your position, and kind of how has your experience been being a woman in your position?
I guess my experience has been really positive because, as you mentioned, I started out as a management trainee, and really there's sort of a regular cadence that you follow throughout the progression of your career that we all follow throughout the progression of our career. We're all paid the same. We get promoted at the same time. So man, woman, we're all kind of promoting at the same time and getting paid the same. So so I've had a positive experience from an equality perspective, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
The one, I think, challenge maybe that I've seen is that I am probably, I have more trouble building relationships outside of work as a female. I would say the banking industry is probably a little bit more male dominated in the senior level positions. And so it's a little bit challenging for me to just go out and grab a beer with a married coworker. And so whereas the two male coworkers could go grab a beer together and kind of, you know, form some relationships there. So I would say that's probably my biggest challenge, which isn't a terrible thing. It's fine, but it's, that's probably my biggest challenge is kind of forming that deeper relationship in a meaningful way and having to do it just within the bank, the confines of the bank rather than outside the bank.
Yeah, that's cool that you all get like promoted at the same times and paid the same. That's super interesting. I've never really heard that before. and I guess kind of going off of that. Yeah. And I guess kind of going off of that, like what would you say is probably your favorite and least favorite parts of your job?
Oh boy. The favorite part is there's a lot of things. I would say the people I work with. So as I mentioned, we're all promote from within, and all of the positions are promote from within, meaning that anyone that's worked here 24 years, I've worked with them for 24 years. So we all know each other really well. We grow up together. So, you know, we all started as managers and we all have worked together. So the other presidents in the company are my friends because we've all worked together for so long. and so that's really cool. And then I would also say that there's a ton of opportunities that have come with this job that that maybe I wouldn't have seen in other jobs. And it's anywhere from having, you know, suite tickets at the Nuggets game to being able to go to certain charity dinners that are really cool. And in First Bank's really philanthropic and gives back a lot to the community. And so we end up with tables at a lot of nonprofits. And then I have the opportunity to serve on boards and focus on areas where I'm passionate about, like housing. So there's just been a lot of really cool opportunities. part that is not my favorite, I would say dealing with some of the personnel issues. So there can be some conflicts that feel somewhat trivial from time to time, and that's sort of challenging to deal with.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that you guys have, like, I never really, like, heard anyone talk about, like, the opportunities that they get outside of, from their job, like, kind of outside of their work. So that's really cool. And then this is kind of turning in a little bit of a different direction, but would you mind sharing a little bit about kind of how you were as a student? Like, if you were, like, in high school, so, like, if you were super focused on all your classes or things like that.
Yeah, I would say I was super focused on my classes. I wasn't the type that ever skipped school, or, you know, I just kind of thought I should go and I should get A's, and I should focus on 4.0, and I did. So I took AP classes and kind of went that direction. I was not driving towards valedictorian. I just wanted, you know, to be in the 4.0. So, and I also wanted to do the, where there were certain classes that I could take that would allow me to skip out of those classes in college, or at least have a chance to skip out of them. And so I learned that mid-year high school, or midway through high school. So I was able to skip out of a number of things or have a really easy time in college the first couple of years. So I found that to be super beneficial. My dad was a high school guidance counselor at a neighboring school, so he knew all the tricks and tips about how to, you know, what classes to take, how to navigate the scholarship world, et cetera. So I was pretty focused on that. Basically focused on how could I have an easier time at college when I was in high school, I guess.
Yeah, that's super funny. Me and all my friends right now, I'm a junior. And so right now we're all kind of trying to figure out, like, what classes do we need to be taking to get all of these things when we go to college. So that's kind of funny. And I guess
it makes,
like,
a difference. It made my first year of college pretty easy, quite honestly. It makes a difference. So I would encourage you to keep doing that.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone's always telling us, they're like, if you do good on this, you can skip out on, like, the basic classes that everyone has to take.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Did you, like, do anything outside of school? So, like, sports, other activities, volunteering, things like that when you were in high school?
Ooh, I played tennis. So I was on the tennis team all throughout high school, which was the sport that I found to have the least amount of running. I was, like, my freshman year, I did track. Yeah, I did track. And I did gymnastics. I was terrible at gymnastics, but one of my friends did it. We were both terrible. It was fun. But then track, my sophomore year, I realized that I was just gonna have to run more and more and more. So I went to soccer, and same thing. So I didn't do soccer, and tennis, the one that had the least amount of running. So that's where I did that. And then let's see what else we used to do. We lived in a small town, so we would just come up with creative ways. So I grew up in a town of 15,000, so a tiny town in Wyoming, and we would drag Maine on Friday nights. So we would drive up and down Main Street in our cars, and then we would pull over at either the gas station or the Hardee's and kind of meet up and talk with each other, and then get back in our cars. That's how we saw each other, because we didn't have social media and we didn't have video or anything. So that's how we saw each other, was driving up and down Main Street, and it's like six blocks of Main Street. We're driving up and down, back and forth, waving at each other, and then pulling over and talking to each other in a parking lot. So that was our like wild Friday nights in Wyoming.
That's so funny. Yeah. I have, like, this completely the same experience up here in Evergreen. It's, like, super small, and people just, like, we just drive around because that's all there is to do. And I chose to play volleyball when I was younger because it had the least amount of running. And now that I'm older, there's a lot of running involved, but it is what it is.
Yeah. It's still probably less than
20. Yeah. And so obviously then you went to the University of Wyoming. So kind of how was your college experience different from high school? Was that kind of like a change as far as, like, you know, like the number of people you were around or anything like that?
Yeah, I think that was my first real taste of independence. So it's, you know, it's 4.5 or 5 hours away from home. So that was good. I was, you know, away from home. And I was in charge of myself, right? So it was sort of this, I'm in charge of going to school. I'm in charge of, and luckily, I guess I would say, like, I had academic scholarships. And so I had to maintain a certain grade point average to keep them. And I was really focused. The reason I went to Wyoming is because of the cost or the scholarships I got for Wyoming. And so I was hyper aware, and I was, I guess, driven by those, maintaining those scholarships. So I was focused on grades without having anyone kind of keep track of me going to class, et cetera. So I think that was a positive thing, that I had a reason to focus on grades, and I had something other than just my own self-motivation. I had something that I had to, like, check a box on. So so I think that was positive. But yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was just, I lived on my own. I had, you know, my own schedule that I had to keep. I was not going to school with the same people I knew growing up in elementary school. So I was kind of outside of my normal, just kind of small group of friends. Right, right. Meeting other people from, we had people from other countries, you know, it was kind of my first taste of maybe some level of diversity, where I didn't catch that as much in my hometown. So that was probably too, just kind of getting to know other cultures and having a little bit of that, maybe not as much as I would in another school, but more than I had it growing up. So, so it was awesome. Loved it. And like I told you before we kind of jumped on here, is I got my bachelor's and I thought, well, I love going to school and I know what I'm doing and I'm kind of in my wheelhouse. And so I stayed and got my master's just so that I wouldn't have to grow up and get a job yet. And I honestly looked at going to law school because I was like, I loved the college experience. And I just thought, well, I better force myself to get a job or I'm going to stay. I'm going to become a lifetime student. So I finally let it go.
You're like, how many more degrees can I get before I have to leave?
Seriously.
So obviously, like, for your undergrad, you majored in something business related, right? And so kind of how did that lead you into going into, like, banking or finance and just, like, go into the banking industry in general?
So I guess the reason I picked business is kind of funny. In sixth grade, I watched Secret of My Success with Michael J. Fox, really old movie. And he kind of worked his way from the mailroom on up through some antics and whatnot. But I saw in the movie, there were, like, high rises in New York, and they were, you know, there was business women in suits and in professional careers. And I thought, well, that's what I want to do, is I want to be a businesswoman. I want to wear a suit and I want to have a professional career. And that's all I knew. That was it. That was as far as I got. And I want to make my own money. And so then that's kind of what I thought. And I was like, well, I guess I'll just get a degree in business because that's general enough that I can find something, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so just my business classes, there was some idea of, well, HR is interesting, business law is super interesting, which is why I wanted to get my degree, my Juris Doctorate. But, and then, you know, I thought the management side was interesting. So I kind of got a feel for what the other areas were, or what the areas of business were that might be interesting to me. But I still didn't know what I wanted to do. So I just kind of started looking in the, you used to look for jobs in the classified in the newspapers. So I was looking through the classifieds and I found this management trainee, and it just said, it kind of just made it sound like you get a training in kind of all areas of banking and you get this idea of what it might be to be a banker. And I was like, well, that sounds good, because I have no idea what I want to do. And this guy gives me 6 months to kind of understand and decide if I want to do this job. So that's why it was so appealing, because it sounded like there was some training and it was sort of a little bit more open-ended than just you're going to be in HR or you're whatever. So so that I went for it, and I thought, well, I'll be here a couple of years and try something different. And I never went anywhere else.
That's cool that you got kind of like a little bit of a taste of everything when you did that. It wasn't just like one path that you were going into. And I guess kind of on that note, what are kind of, you know, obviously you've made your way up to your position. And what are some of kind of like the, or just like biggest challenges you've had being in as high up as a position as you are?
So I think the challenges have been, the biggest challenge is being uncomfortable. So I think I do my best when I'm uncomfortable and I'm stepping outside my comfort zone and I'm doing something that is new to me for the first time or is something that I've not had confidence in doing before and forcing myself to do it, because that's what gets you the next level, is that's your growth opportunity. That's your chance. And it's easy to stay in your comfort zone, but I would not be anywhere near where I am today if I had stayed in my comfort zone, because I'm constantly outside of my comfort zone in this job. And I've learned that it's, even when it's uncomfortable, it's going to bring positive results because I'm growing and it's not as uncomfortable the next time. And so it's just that it's constantly being outside my comfort zone and thriving, I guess, or learning in that environment. So I would say that's been my biggest challenge in general, is staying outside that comfort zone and thinking outside the box and trying to think of solutions that are just obvious.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think that's like a big thing. A lot of people are very afraid to go try new things and do things that are foreign to them. So I think getting outside of your comfort zone is a good piece of advice. and then kind of coming to like the end of all of the questions, I just want to ask, kind of as you were working your way up and I guess going through those moments where you were outside of your comfort zone, kind of how did you handle any fear that you had in those moments or self-doubt or uncertainty when you were going through all of that?
I think I just got to the point where I realized that if I didn't do it, I wouldn't be proud of myself. So it was, how am I going to feel about myself if I don't take this chance? And am I going to be okay with not taking this chance? And the answer almost always is no. I'd rather have tried, failed than not tried, you know, that whole thing. But that's what it was. Just, will I be happy with myself if I don't try? And the answer is usually no.
Yeah. Yeah. And then kind of last question here, if you could give your 16-year-old self or, you know, a teenage girl who is kind of looking into going into a career that, like yours, what piece of advice would you give her, or like a mantra that you would give them?
Well, my kind of most recent mantra, not necessarily focused on work, is be true to yourself. And so that would be one thing, I think, and be true to your values. You know, I think I've found that it's often easier just to fit in and stick with the crowd. And it's some things as small as, so like this, I'll give you an example. I am sort of an animal advocate and really love animals, but I have only in the last 3 years become a vegan. And I wasn't before, because it was just easier to fit in, just easier to say yes to whatever. Yeah. And finally I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do this. Why am I trying to fit in on something I don't believe in? And you know, that's just a minor thing. But I'm much happier with myself for kind of following what's important to me and, you know, asking for a different option. And so I guess that's just one small example, but I think just kind of be true to yourself in whatever you do. And if you, you know, if you have maybe a distaste for a certain industry, or you don't have good feelings about it, but you get paid the most there, I guess, think about what's important to you in terms of your values. Is money more important than your values, or is your values more important than money? But just try and think of what your values are and whether or not you'll be happy with whatever industry you choose in the long run, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a really good piece of advice, because I feel like a lot of people are very, you know, they try to go into a certain industry because of the amount of money that they'll be making, but it's not something that they're really, truly, like, interested in. So I think that's good. Okay, so that was my last question. Thank you so much for coming on here today. I really appreciate it.